Hello, Kirk.
Okay. Today's a little bit different than normal. Normally I'm on with Linda, but we've decided to try to do one call a week together, and then I'm going to do one call with hopefully somebody willing or having the guts to come on with me.
Yeah.
And today I actually have somebody I consider a good friend at this point, Chad.
Thanks, Kurt.
He's down. He's down on the east side or the east coast, and he's fairly new. I'm going to say, I mean, in reality, after my 15 years, I would consider Chad fairly new, but I also consider him a quick study. So this I told him that when we do this call today, that I'm going to cut him loose, let him ask anything, and we're just going to try to feel our way through the answers on this, because I think the answers are easy. I think they're all obvious. So whatever you have to ask, please ask. I'll do my best, but I think everybody's going to figure this shit out. They're going to go, "Oh my God, it really is this obvious." Anyway, go ahead. What do you got for me?
Well, okay, great. I love that. And I just wanted to start with saying that, before I stumbled on you upon you, I was going to town on all these conspiracies, and I was getting all well versed in all the, well, what I just see now is a bunch of crap. But it wasn't until like the third time around on your tutorials that I realized how none of it's true. Like how they really, like, it's just, once somehow it just clicked on me, and I can see, suddenly I see it much, much clearer than I ever thought I would. And yeah, I just want to say that because it was an amazing feeling that after I was able to kind of break the code. But there's I know you always kind of say that things aren't, it's not your business, and that makes sense to me. But some of the questions are going to be like event related. Some of them will be directly with the law and stuff. But my first one that I'm curious about is when you talk about the vacuum created in the space, the vacuum, when they cut and they create a space in a vacuum in nature. And I never really kind of understand that all.
It's my turn.
Yeah.
Well, let me do this. I'm gonna go and I'm not in front of a computer. I'm actually at my wife's shop, and I'm in the hallway. So when I do this, I'm going to be using my phone as my computer at this point. But the question is what's the vacuum I talk about? What
Yeah.
vacuum? What hole in space and time am I talking about? Well, I'm going to go to Wikipedia, but I'm going to a term called horror vacui. Horror vacui Wikipedia. And this is pretty
Amazing.
amazing, but horror vacui, HORROR space VACUI, horror vacui.
Okay, I'm there.
I'm going to go to physics because it gives you a whole lot of space, no pun intended, physics. So it says in physics, and by the way, you got to know what physics is. That's the physical substantial reality. But it says in physics, horror vacui or plenism, commonly stated as nature abhors a vacuum, that's horror vacui, is a postulate attributed to Aristotle, who articulated a belief later criticized by the atomism of Epicurus and Lucretius, that nature contains no vacuums because the denser surrounding material continuum would immediately fill the rarity of an incipient void. It would fill up. I mean, in other words, if I take something out of its location, something, it would just fill in naturally. Things would just fill in that hole, fill in that space naturally. And it's very obvious, but here's the problem. So, and it always goes back to the same thing. People that listen to me will realize that truth is so simple, but we get sidetracked, literally sidetracked, sidetracked. tracked. We get moved over to a different train of thought, literally train track, a train of thought. We
wow.
move over to a different track, a parallel track that is actually running parallel, looks the same, but it is actually not real. That's the side track. I almost did it right there. I got sidetracked. But the hole that I'm talking about, the hole that I'm talking about is biological. Think about this. Mom and Dad lay together. They lay together, and Dad produces his building materials called sperm with its 23 chromosomes of information from my dad's side, my dad's line, my dad's vine. And then my mom also brings 23 chromosomes in the form of ovum as her building materials to that laying together. And if fertilization, if creation occurs for the fertilization process, then it results in a single cell singularity known as the zygote. That zygote is our divinity, divinity, two vines, the vine of Dad, the vine of Mom. Those two vines combined is a 46 chromosome brand spanking new entity called zygote. Now here's the thing. That zygote is substance. It's biology. It's substance. It's real. It exists. And it's the first moment of your existence, your godly estate, your godly kingdom, your kingdom, whatever, your sovereignty. It all begins at that moment. It all begins at that moment. For the next 280 days in the womb, from a single cell to what we see as the baby coming out of the womb, all of that evolutionary due process, all of those cellular subdivisions within that single cell ends up producing what we see as the baby. What we don't see is all of the baby's kingdom, because realistically, that zygote became the baby, the umbilical cord, and the extra embryonic material that's all one thing, which is all the zygote. The zygote then, again, through subdivision, looks like the baby, the umbilical cord, and the extra embryonic material, which becomes part of the afterbirth. Now, here's the thing. When baby comes out, he gets wrapped up and he gets taken home with Mom and Dad. But before that happens, they clamp and cut the umbilical cord. They cut it. Now, all of the original material that began as the zygote, that single-cell zygote, the oldest of your biology, is actually the fetal afterbirth, which is the outer shell, or think of it as the case you were in. Think about it, the case.
Wow.
That's the case they talk about in the courtrooms. That's the case. The case, the thing you were encased in, the ark, the boat that got you from nowhere to now here outside the womb, all of that biology is yours. And it evidences your origin. It evidences that first moment. And of course, that first moment did not have a name. It did not. It was not called Chad. It was not called Kurt. It was not called anything, because nobody even knew it existed. That moment of creation is an unknown moment. So they can't capture the moment because they don't know when it happened. So the moment of creation is an unknown moment, so nobody else can make a claim upon that creation. Nobody can.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also no name to it. So that means you can't sign a name that evidence.
Wait. So that's why the record, that's why they start at the implantation, because that.
Up.
Go ahead, sorry.
But what, you're getting ahead of the story here, because.
Okay.
Because remember that there is no name, Chad. There is no name, Kurt. There's no name. There's not even any knowledge of that moment of creation. So the only thing that evidences that existence is the biology or the DNA or the genetic code that existed before anything else. It exists first in time. It exists before time. It exists right at that moment. But nobody knows it's even occurred yet. So it's outside of the scope or purview or jurisdiction of any man-made idea, completely. So creation, fertilization, is outside of the scope of every jurisdiction known to man, period. Now, from that moment all the way to when baby comes out, that's all one evolutionary due process, from a single-cell zygote to a multi-trillion-cell baby. It's all one thing. It's all one. The zygote becomes, I mean, inside of it, there's the subdivision into the embryo, into the fetus, and then ultimately into the baby. Then the baby comes out of mom. They clamp and cut the cord. And, yeah, you got the baby out there, outside of the womb, on the dry land, air-based world. But inside mom still exists the rest of baby's godly estate, the rest of baby's kingdom, and that's the fetal afterbirth. Here's the thing. They create a record, a record, a record, a physical record that has a name on it. A name. Now, that name cannot possibly be attributable to creation because it's 280 days too late.
Wow.
So all of the time in the womb, you got to, somebody says, yeah, Kurt, what's your birthday? Well, first of all, that's a presumption that I have one. And so the burden of proof would fall onto you to prove that I had a birthday.
I love that, by the way.
Because I know that I don't have a birthday. I know I don't. But it's the burden of proof falls on you when you force your birthday idea, birthday character, your Gregorian calendar, birth certificated character upon me. The burden of proof is on you. And here's the situation, but here's the real situation about that hole. The hole. When they clamp and cut the cord, all of the time in the womb is left behind. It's forgotten. How many people do you know even consider the time in the womb? When they say birthday, the birthday is for outside the womb. Hey, happy birthday. You're here. You're outside the womb. So and when does the birthday, what do they use for the birthday? They use a Gregorian calendar, another artificial time frame that doesn't belong in nature. It doesn't even exist in nature. The Gregorian calendar was created by Pope Gregory in 1582. It didn't even exist. It doesn't exist in nature.
Yeah,
it's bullshit. It's a narrative. It's a false narrative. It's a false duality that does not exist in nature. That's why my favorite court case of all time is Cruden versus Neal, where in that court case, it actually states that there in nature, every man is independent of all laws except those prescribed by nature, meaning the only law that we are actually subject to is the law of nature. But if we claim something that is beyond nature or outside of the scope of nature, we're going to suffer that claim. So when we claim an artificial birth certificated character in place of our biology, we're going to suffer, and we do. So here's the whole. The 280 days in the womb that we have forgotten, that we have forsaken, that we have abandoned, it's unknown. Listen, we existed at fertilization. We existed substantially in substance the moment that cell was created. But then we claim a birthday 280 days later. All the time between creation and birthday is forgotten. That's the whole. That means we're claiming to begin here at birthday rather than begin at creation fertilization. So all the
but
time
does,
between
doesn't the birth? You said once before recently. You said that. But it was really amazing the way you worded it, is the record only goes as far back as implantation, like the, because it's the product of conception that they're marking with the certificate. So are they at least going back to implantation on the record, or are they just ignoring the first seven, ish days from fertilization?
Okay, see, this is why I said you're a great student. because the record, which is on paper and is given a title, which we see as a birth certificated name, that record is the historical record. It is the public record. So it's the public record, the public historical record. Now think about that. The character on that Gregorian calendar record is a public record. So by claiming a birthday, you're also claiming to be of or part of the public. That's it. Now, that's a whole different idea, but I just wanted to put that out there before I answer your question.
Copy.
So the birthday, which is 280 days after creation, so when I looked at that the first time, I said, okay, all the time in the womb is forgotten. That's a hole. That's a void. That's a vacuum in nature. If I claim that I began here at fertilization, but then I begin again at birthday. All the time in between there has been forgotten, and that's a vacuum. That's a vacuum. Now, to answer your question, to be extremely specific, let's go back to that moment of creation. When dad's sperm fertilizes mom's ovum, resulting in the divine zygote. That single cell is all of you and everything you'll ever be biologically, substantially, in one single cell. That creation, by the way, happens in the water of mom, in the water. It doesn't happen on land. So the moment of creation occurs in the water.
I love it.
It occurred, I'm a man in the land. I don't give a shit. You were created in the water. You're of the water. So for the first 7 days-ish of your existence, when sperm fertilizes ovum, it happens in the waters of mom, in the water, not on any other substance. So you're floating in the water upon creation. And I'm going to say you're floating in the waters completely unattached to anything. In other words, you're floating in time and space unattached. When I say space, I mean real space, coordinates in space, not out there where the stars are located. I'm talking about in real space, and that is where we exist right now, substantially, in space. I'm sitting right now on a couch in a hallway. I'm in space. I'm occupying space. Well, so does the zygote in mom's waters. It occupies space in the water. So now you're floating in space. Okay. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, you keep saying the word. I don't know. I don't want to lose it, which is what then that leads to the space program, which was kind of about the vacuum thing. I mean, is that now a good time to say what the hell that means, the space program?
Oh, hey, well, it means exactly what it says it means. They're talking about space.
Gosh,
before, and I'm about to get there, because when you understand the space program, when you understand that the National Institutes of Health, they agree that the time before implantation is correct. Well, that's when you're out in space. That's when you're in the waters of mother in space, all by yourself as a singularity, as a single zygote. Now, here we go. Yeah, I agree with you. The space program and all that space stuff, NASA, it's all space related, and I'm talking about space right now.
That's crazy.
When you're floating in the waters of mother, you're in space. Now, here's the thing. I'm going to say for about the first 7 days, by the way, I should add one caveat here. The moment of creation, when dad's sperm fertilizes mom's ovum, dad's sperm is giving order to the chaos of mom's ovum. It's giving order to it. It's aligning the microtubules inside mom's ovum. It's doing all this stuff. It's actually creating. So dad's sperm is a creative moment. When it merges with mom's ovum, it's aligning everything in there to create a new being. It's unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable.
Crazy.
It is, but it's almost magical, but I'm just saying it's nature. It's nature. It's not supernatural, it's nature. So here we go. That order out of chaos, by the way, I'm going to dispute a couple things right now, is that many women think that mom creates something. Mom does not create anything. Mom participates with her 23-chromosome ovum, but she doesn't create anything. She carries what has been created. That's what she does. Mom carries what has already been created in space or in the waters. Mom does not create.
And I see that.
And there's a lot of women that are, oh, God damn it, Kurt. No, I'm just telling the truth. You guys got to give it up. You people have to stop believing bullshit.
It's still just as magical that the mother carries this creation. It's still just as magical. I mean, you know, I guess that they drop it off. Yeah.
No, that's the beauty. Is truth is even better than all the made up bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Truth is better. It's better because it is actually happening. Happened. It happened. It is. It is what it is, and there's no dispute. In fact, religions and science do not argue the point. It's just that they let us make all these erroneous claims and mistakes, and then they try to help put us back together. So they need us to make these stupid claims in order for them to have work. There is no work for any religion anywhere in the world if you know this truth. If you know that you and God, you came directly from God, and there is no middleman, every religion's gone. If you actually know that there is no middleman between you and the moment of creation, there isn't anybody between you and creation. You know what? All the administrative process, all the due process, all the 14th Amendment bullshit, it all disappears. The state has no work. In fact, from fertilization to last breath, you're the owner. There is no trust law for the living. There is no trust law for the owner. You're not missing or presumed dead when you know the truth all the way back to creation. And that's what I'm trying to get at. So look at creation occurs. You're floating in the waters of Mother. You're floating in space. That very moment of creation, there is a membrane surrounding Mom's ovum called the pellucid membrane. Pellucid. Pellucid, like as in Lucy. Lucy. The first mom, the first mother, the first female. The pellucid membrane. Now, here's the thing. That membrane is retained for the first 5 days or so while you're floating in space. You're enveloped. It's an envelope. You're enveloped like a baby blanket. You're enveloped by Mom's pellucid membrane. They call it the baby's skin. It's the outer hull of your ship. But you retain it upon the moment of creation. So let me ask you something. If you retain the pellucid membrane at the moment of creation, you know, that seems like a gift, you know, from Mom, or a note from Mom that says, it's okay, I'm inviting you to land in my uterine wall. That's kind of what I look at it as. I look at the pellucid membrane that is part of your origin as almost a note from Mom, a note from Mother Earth to say, yeah, here it is right here. This is your passport. This is your past. This is the note that I'm giving you, evidencing a deed or the ability to land in my uterine wall before you do.
That's, and have you seen the microscopic image of it on Wikipedia? It's quite beautiful, quite interesting.
But before, or just prior to implantation, you shed that skin, you shed that membrane, you shed it. So now all that's left in there is your 46 chromosome zygotic material. And here's the thing, that happens, you're floating in space like an asteroid, you know, like a meteor, and you're all of a sudden you're zooming towards Mother Earth, the uterine wall, where you're going to eventually land. You land, you're in heaven now, you're floating in space, and now you're about to land on Mother's uterine wall, Mother Earth. You're about to land. So that happens about, let's say, 7 days later. And so you're floating in space for about the first 7 days. Now, what's interesting, again, is that the NIH, National Institutes of Health of the United States, say that pre-implantation is correct. Well, what does that mean? It means that the United States recognizes your sovereignty prior to the implanting it into the uterine wall. Why? Because that's your sovereignty. That's your origin. That's your 46 chromosomes, and that's your kingdom. It's identified right there. Your zygote is your kingdom, and the United States agrees with that. The NIH, the National Institutes of Health, say, hey, this is correct. Well, what does correct mean? It means it's proper. It's the way it's supposed to be. So if you're
okay, let me finish real quick.
So if the United States already says that the pre-implantation zygotic material is correct, do you need to be corrected?
No.
No, you don't need a Department of Corrections. You don't need to be corrected like in school. If you're already correct, if you already know your godly origin, there is no need to be corrected by a judge, by a priest, by anybody. The Department of Corrections becomes off limits for you because you're already whole. You're already whole, and you know it. And biblically, at Luke 5:31, it says, Jesus, in his own words, their Jesus, their character, in their book, Jesus says, they that are whole, whole, need not a physician. You're not broken, so you don't need to be fixed. You're not sick, so you don't need a prescription. You're already whole, and that's what Jesus is saying. Pre-implantation, they that are whole need not a physician, meaning you don't need what? Medical help. You're not unhealthy. The World Health Organization doesn't apply to you. None of the shit going on in the world right now about health and dis-ease and disability applies to you because you're whole, W-H-O-L-E. Okay, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Well, no, I have a million questions already from just what you said. It's hard not. It's like I'm trying to catch it. I mean, if you don't mind, I just got like three from what you just said questions. Well, first of all, hold on. So, that brings up, you're talking about how the United States recognizes that only. So on my list was actually this topic, so I don't mean to jump too far away if that's the case, but I always, when I'm telling people, I'm always, when I get to the point about saying that the United States, here's what I say, but I'm not saying it good enough, I think, but I say, well, the United States only allows sovereign people. And what I'm trying to avoid to say is the United States only allows sovereign citizens, because I know what citizen means. And then I also don't know how to explain that you don't belong to the United States if you're not whole. But how is it that I would say that? Do you know what I'm getting at? Like, how would I, if we're not whole, if we're the birth certificate character, and we're a U.S. citizen, and we're technically Rome.
All of those are premises, and they're all wrong. They're all wrong.
How do you mean?
Every idea. All of them are wrong, and I'll prove it right now.
Okay.
First of all, United States, États-Unis, States United. What are the two states that need to be reunited if
unborn and born?
Unborn and born. So those are two separate states of existence only because of the cut. If there's no cut, there's no two separate states of existence.
Shit. Yeah, I guess.
So if you were left alone, if there wasn't an act of mayhem, a cut, if there wasn't a larceny, a taking away of your biology, if there wasn't a genocide, a decedent to state, a birth certificate, a decedent to state, if none of that occurred, then there would not be two states of existence that need to be reunited. Because in nature, the evolutionary due process is, it includes all the time in the womb plus all the time out of the womb. There is no separation of states.
If we're to identify ourselves with, you know, through the whole thing, convenience and consistency, the whole thing, if we're just trying to tell the United States that we are aware and we, you know, all the things like that, then we're on the side of the United States, the Bill of Rights. We have to state this.
No, you
know?
You don't. Nope. It's a matter of fact in nature. Again, Cruden versus Neal says, there in nature, every man is independent of all laws except those prescribed by nature. All you have to do is get back to reality, which is fertilization to last breath. When you understand this, let me ask you a question, Chad.
Okay.
Tell me the moment of creation. What time was it?
Today.
But is today on any calendar?
No.
No. So it's not attributable to any time frame that man has made up. Any calendar. It doesn't matter 40, 50 different calendars going on in the world right now. None of them apply. None of them apply. Because you were created outside of that frame, outside of that reference. So, again, my question is what time was it when you were created? There wasn't any time. And so it's off the historical record. It's outside of the history, meaning it's prehistory. It's prehistoric. So everything
you
inside...
You realize,
prehistoric is before the record. It's before the piece of paper that they wrote down a time frame on. That's a frame. You've been framed. Literally, you've been framed. If you accept the birthday. Now, look at, I'm going to ask you a few more questions, because by me asking you questions, you're going to realize all the shit that you just spewed about citizenship and all that stuff is nonsense. So tell me.
Okay.
The moment dad's sperm fertilized mom's ovum, I'm going to use me because I know my own path. The moment dad's sperm fertilized mom's ovum. Was I in Illinois?
No.
No. Was I in Winnebago County?
No.
Was I in Swedish American Hospital? Was I in the United States?
Yes.
Was I in America? Tell me, what I'm getting at is all of these fictional lines, these fictional jurisdictions, which are trying to make a claim upon my existence, I was outside of all of those at creation.
See, this is what I'm saying. When you see this stuff, like you just said exactly at the end, I don't know if you've ever seen They Clone Tyrone, but I always use this example. At the end of the movie, there's I think it's a cop of sorts, and he's either pointing a gun or he's just firmly asking these people, where are you from? And I think they're like, maybe they said Chicago, it doesn't matter. And then he's like, okay, over here. And he directs them. And then he asks this homeless dude, he's like, where are you from? And he's like, I don't know. And the cop leaves him alone. And it's like, it's the best example that he didn't have to say his origin is fertilization, but he didn't say one of their jurisdictions. Right?
Right.
That's a clear sign.
He didn't claim the jurisdiction.
Exactly.
They're actually acting upon our claims. What happens when we make erroneous claims? A birthday, or I'm an Illinoisan, or I'm a United States citizen. Those are all claims. I'm a sovereign. Well, prove it. You can't
That's
be a sovereign and have a birthday.
Is,
you can't have a sovereign and have a birthday. You cut yourself off.
You can't
off
have a sovereign and have a birthday. What do you mean by that? Wait.
But the birthday separates you from your sovereignty. The birthday is
oh,
based
yes,
upon
of course.
The gut. You can't be sovereign from fertilization and claim a birthday. Because the birth
okay.
evidences your willingness to admit to the separation from creation through the cut. The cut is an event, and the moment they clamp and cut you, separate you from your godly origin, you're no longer considered a sovereign. You're a clipped sovereign, but you're not
Absolutely.
Sovereign. And then when you accept the birth certificated 14th Amendment citizenship, now you're not. Now you're just working as a commercial franchise for the United States. Again, you don't even have to know all this. My point is all of that stuff that people are admitting to inadvertently or directly or whatever, ignorantly, the point is that from fertilization to last breath, none of it applies. None of it applies when you know the truth.
That's why the burden of truth, again, is like so simple, but it's the most important because you just said it. They're just going on our claims. Yeah, like we're making a statement and we're making a claim. We're admitting to their stuff and they're just going on that. It's so simple that people, yeah, that's crazy. It's burden of truth is key here.
The
I
burden
think.
Of proof. The burden of proof.
Sorry. That, yeah, exactly. Sorry. That was just a mind.
So
yeah,
look,
burden of proof.
If I'm adhering, if I'm in alignment with nature, do I have to prove anything?
No.
Right. See, the burden of proof is on them in every situation that you find yourself in as long as you're willing to ask the question, like, listen, you're the one that is presuming me to be this or that or the other thing. You're the one presuming I have a birthday. You're the one that's you're presuming that I'm a driver. You're presuming that I'm subject to all these ideas, but the reality is the burden of proof is on you because the reality is I began at fertilization, which is outside of the time frame or the character, the birth certificated Gregorian calendar frame of reference. I'm outside of that. And I'm also, it's more than that. Physically, my dad's 23 chromosomes and my mom's 23 chromosomes. Are my dad's 23 chromosomes from Illinois?
No.
Are my mom's from Illinois? Are my dad's from Germany? Are my dad's 23 chromosomes from the Dutch Republic? Are my mom's from Greece? Are my mom's from Sweden? No, they're from Earth. There are no jurisdictions for Mother Earth. And if our biology comes from the Earth, there are no lines of demarcation that say I'm from Illinois because I'm not. I'm not from Greece. I'm not from Sweden. I'm not from Germany. I'm not from anywhere, because my biology is not from any of those places, and neither is yours or anybody else listening to this call. You're from when I'm speaking about you, I'm talking about the substance and the biology. Your biology is made up of the same substance as Mother Earth. I don't know where you're from, Chad. When I say you, I'm talking about because I don't know where I'm from. Meaning that the one governing this body, the spirit behind it, the one that's actually speaking, you know, in a definitive way right now, I don't know where I was before I inhabited this body. I don't know where I was before that. And I don't know where I'll be after I leave this body, but while I'm here, I'm a sojourner. While I'm here, this is my body and my body alone. I don't share any of the biology with anybody, so there's no way me or my kingdom is part of any trust, because I don't share it with anybody. I don't share these 46 chromosomes with anybody, so there's no possible way I'm part of any trust. And I'm certainly not part of the public.
As a person who just went through, I look back on the way that when I stumbled upon you and the evolution of how I got closer to reality and to truth, which is what happens when you go through. Going through your stuff and really understanding it has brought me closer to reality, and it's so. Well, first of all, man, the world is so. For someone to understand that the just the basic idea of the jurisdictions and that truth, we're far away. The world is far away. That's to see how I had to get what I went through to get to the truth, and to see reality as you've done for me. I see the journey, and I see, like, I don't know if that makes. I'm just talking and. Scrambling around here right now. I guess what I'm saying is, I saw how what it took to get here, and for all this to make so much sense, and to see truth and see reality, it's insane, and it is so simple. And I have to say this one. I have to say this one quick story. It's so perfect to describe this, to describe the truth. It was how it's so right in front of us. It's that the truth and reality is in the front present moment in front of us, and we're just stepping over it. And the story is that we were playing hide and go seek as a kid, and I was counting in the garage, and then I couldn't find it. I found everyone except my dad, and he was right in front of the door where I walked out to look. I never would think to look that somebody would hide right by the door. And it's the best way to describe the truth. Just like right there.
You passed it.
Yes. But it's
you were already past your dad, so you were out there looking for him when in fact you already had passed him.
Yes.
That's what the cut does. When we come out of the womb, we're already past all the time in the womb, so when they tell us to celebrate this birthday and our parents tell us to celebrate this birthday, we forget about everything that's still left behind in the womb. Well, we're already past it. That's why you couldn't find your dad. By the way, you also can't find your father, because a zygote's your father. So you passed him. When you came out the gate, when you came out the Stargate, i.e. vagina, into this realm, you had already passed your hidden father. That's why you couldn't find him.
Wow. I love that.
He was back there. He was back there. You weren't looking back there. You came from there. He couldn't have been there. Well, he is there.
That's amazing, Kurt. That's so amazing. All right. Well, I'm going to change it up here a little bit. I want you to tell me a little bit about, I got a list of like 20 things here, and let me pick one here.
We'll go as long as you want.
All right, cool. All right, so let's talk about.
Hey, by the way,
the region.
I have to say this before I forget. See, you learning this and getting down off that marker, that stake in the ground that I call birthday. That's a marker in the ground. It's a stake. It's a stake. It's a cross. You came down off the cross. You actually came down off of being frozen in time, that birth certificate of Gregorian calendar, Christian. You came down off the cross. Now you're in the present again. And so you're no longer a hanging Chad. I just thought of that. I thought it was, you're no longer hanging on the cross, so you're not a hanging Chad.
Well, I was already starting to cry because what you're saying was so beautiful, and then you ended with that. That's amazing. Oh, man, that's so beautiful. I love that, and that's hilarious. And then I never knew. Everyone always brings that up when they hear my name, but the Hanging Chad or the Chad from Charlie's Angels. But anyway, that's awesome. That means a lot. I'm a little bit blown away.
Well,
that was very touching.
You're frozen in time. If you're frozen in time at the gate, right where you came out, i.e. birthday, Curtis Richard Kallenbach, September 19th, 1960 at 3:50 a.m., that's a hanging Kurt. I'm hanging on the cross back there. What did I do? I sacrificed my present. I mean, what does Jesus call himself in the Bible? I am. What does I am mean? It means you're present. What happens when you sacrifice your present? You hang your present on the cross, i.e. Jesus on the cross. And so that's the marker. The moment you come into this realm, they hang you on the cross with a Gregorian calendar Christian character.
I'm so glad you brought that up. I came across this most incredible image of Jesus Christ, and I would, and it's what he's wearing and how they've done it is biology. He's wrapped in this red, his top half is in this white shirt, you know, whatever, and then he's wrapped in that robe with this red. That's, and I know that that means that him implanted into the mother, and that's Jesus Christ. It's the afterbirth material. That's what the image is, the white inside of the red robe. It's the implantation, right?
The red would be the uterine wall.
Yes.
Which would be the handmaiden of Jesus, but people don't get it. Your own biology, the amnion itself, the word amnion in Greek means lamb, like the Lamb of God. So when they clamp and cut the cord and take your fetal biology, which includes that membrane, that member, the Lamb of God has been sacrificed. It's been cut off of you. It's been left behind. You got to be careful because, I mean, I'm not trying to step on toes. I'm just telling the truth. And it's so obvious that the narrative, their capital G narrative, their capital G Genesis, is the beginning of a story, whereas the lowercase loop tail G Genesis is the beginning of substance and reality. So you hear the word Genesis, and you got to ask, lowercase g or capital G? Because capital G is a story, it's a narrative, you know, a canonical Jewish or Christian narrative, whereas lowercase loop-tail g Genesis is substance, it's the beginning of life, which is the zygote. That's the lowercase g Genesis. So we reality is absolutely beautiful, and it's a lot of fun because now you get the product of your own efforts, whereas if you go into the communistic Christian society, what happens is by joining that religious order, that Christian order, you sacrifice what it is you give up all worldly possessions, so all of the Christians' property is held in trust. They call it the In God We Trust. And it's been that way since at least 1933, March 4th, when FDR, in his first inaugural address, said, "Today is a day of national consecration," and national, so he created a nation, and consecrated nation means a holy nation. And so the cut material, the material that evidences your link to God, the time in the womb, the vacuum created by your forgetting about it, that material became the trust res, the res, R-E-S, the trust res, giving rise to the In God We Trust. And also, when FDR took all the money, he confiscated all the gold, what he did is he took all the gold away, but he gave you a meritorious, we'll call it a certificate of indulgence, which is the Roman Catholic indulgence, and it became your get-out-of-jail-free card if you knew how to use it, because it's the blood of Christ. it became the sacrifice. So when you knew how to use this birth certificated sacrificial lamb, you were able to pay the bill because Jesus' death or Jesus' sacrifice paid all debts. Well, guess what? What happens when you don't know how to use it? Well, then you suffer. But what happens when you know the whole truth and you realize the very material that they cut off of you is Jesus? So realistically, when you're whole, whole, as in Luke 5:31, where Jesus says, they that are whole need not a physician. Well, guess what? From fertilization to last breath, you retain your innocence. You retain your innocence when you know the truth. So there's all kinds of religious activity going on with this character. There's all kinds of, you know, state activity to salvage your boat, salvage your vessel, salvage the extra embryonic ark of the covenant. But you know what? It's all made up. It's all make-believe. It's all make-believe. Nature wins every time when you know the truth.
Okay.
Beautiful.
All right.
Absolutely beautiful. Oh, sorry.
It's amazing. You reminded me of a topic I really wanted to go over. There's two here. Let me just mention them, and then you can go on your spiel. But related to what you did.
I love it.
All right. So first part is the regency. Is that, would you say that that's when the regency would have been formed, like as a nation when FDR did it in 1933? Would that have kind of insinuate that the regency went into play because then everybody officially lost their sovereign position or their, you know, they didn't give up any of their, you know, sovereignty? I guess you could say. Would that regency have gone into play in that moment? And then tying to that is, you've mentioned that when a living man shows up, that the regency is supposed to fall. So I want to know more about that. Why? There's got to be, I mean, some of these people are, someone is using the whole position. So why isn't it crumbled? That's the two-part question.
First of all, let's go to the word at Webster's. Let's go to the word regent.
Okay.
Go to regent. Let me see.
All right.
Regent. So we know what a regency is. We have to know what a regent is. So I'm just going to go to DEF, Webster's regent. And this will make sense. Look what it says here. Not right off the very first definition. It says, a person who governs a kingdom in the minority, absence, or disability of the sovereign. So when they clamp and cut the cord, and that infant biology they cut off of you, which evidences your sovereignty, by the way, that infant biology is now subjected to a regent. Not the baby. The baby goes home with mom and dad as a heathen, as a savage on the land. He's a non-Christian. But the piece that cut off of you that evidences your link to God, that evidences your sovereignty with nature. And so a regency is established to watch over that cut material. It's designed this way. So look what it says here. A person who governs a kingdom in the minority. Well, that's an infancy. Infancy is a minority. How about in your absence? Well, what happens when you forget about your sovereignty? What happens when you forget about your link to creation and God? You're absent-minded. You're not here. You're not present. If you're not present, you're absent. And then, of course, what does it say? In the disability. Well, guess what? If you're mentally ill claiming a birthday, that's a disability. How about when they clamp and cut the cord and they cut that organ off of you? That organ, well, now there's a disability in a different way. What I'm getting at is a regency is established for the infant biology cut off of you, and since you keep defending that cut through the birthday by claiming an annual birthday, by going every 365 days back to the beginning and claiming infancy, you're stuck, you, the true sovereign from fertilization to last breath, are stuck in a regency by your own claim of the birthday. You're stuck there. You never become the king because you keep claiming infancy every 365 days. That's a disability. Infants do not have what? Legal capacity. They're incapacitated. But claiming a birthday every 365 days, here I am, 64 plus years old. If I keep claiming to be an infant every 365 days, I never get out from under the Regency. You see that?
Yeah. But so the question is these people that are operating this, they know about their fertilization. They know about this. They're the Regency. And they're not, okay, yeah, they're not letting anybody become sovereign. Okay, how do I want to word this? What my question is it relates to the whole man, when the living man shows up, there's no need for a regency. Oh, is that for just the individual living man? I was under the impression that the regency would have to crumble if a sovereign showed up.
How does a man show up?
Yeah.
How does a man show up if he never left?
Oh my gosh.
Because you show up by knowing the truth. That's the only way you can show up. And how do you show up? You show up with the knowledge of creation, fertilization. Now, from that moment to this moment, it's an unbroken timeline. That's the only way you can be here now, is through the continual evolutionary due process of nature. From the single cell to this moment, it's an unbroken line. That evidence is by you having the knowledge of creation all the way back to the beginning, all the time in the womb, and not forgetting about it, not claiming a birthday, you're whole, and that is when the man returns. And that's
when the regency disappears for that man.
It should have never been. It should have never existed to begin with.
True. So then,
and those that are holding that property, Chad, are supposed to return it to you.
Larceny.
Well, the problem is the entire world is built upon this bullshit. Imagine one guy wakes up. I mean, there's a Johnny Cash song. When a man comes around. What does that mean? When a man comes around, it's when he comes to his senses and says, holy shit, I've been lied to. I believe this lie, and I have no property. I'm considered an infant, and I'm stuck in this situation, and so is everybody else. And I can't own any property because I'm looked at as a spiritual mendicant, somebody that's chose the path of no property ownership because I'm in some religious cult, Christianity. And as long as I retain that religious Christianity, i.e. the Gregorian calendar birth certificated character created by Pope Gregory in 1582, as long as I keep claiming that Christian birthday, I can't own property.
My God.
It's this big, and yet it's this simple. It's so simple.
Yeah,
you gotta let
that.
Go of. I'm trying to be real clear with you because some of your questions are still based on false premises. You're asking a question about citizenship or whatever. They mean nothing to me. All of that shit is fictitious. It's all nonsense. And once you know the truth, none of those apply. None of them apply.
Well, then if I were to write
There's no separation of church and state. There's no separation of church and state. If the church, if your body's the temple and your state of mind evidences your self-governing ability, you can't separate the capital, your head, your mind, from your labor, your body. But the moment they clamp and cut the cord, they decapitate you. They've separated your mind from the body. Because how can I tell that? When you claim a birthday, I know that your mind's still separate.
Yes.
You're the one making the claim. They're not forcing anything on you. If they do force it on you, it's undue influence. If they force the result of a birthday on you, that's undue influence. And the reality is they still have what? The burden of proof, their claim that you are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why this is so easy. All of the stuff disappears when you go back to the beginning. And that's what most patriot organizations don't know. In fact, none of them do. None of them know this. Your question was, how come this stuff is still in place? Because I don't know anybody talking like me. And until there are thousands of people talking like me, everybody's going to suffer the Jesus complex.
Oh, my God. That just clicked something. Okay. Okay.
Okay. Your turn.
Wow. Wow. Okay, great. That was amazing. Yeah, it does. It's only going to I get it. No, I don't even need to explain it. That was amazing. Okay.
There's a vacuum. By the way, let's go back to your first question, the vacuum.
Perfect. Perfect.
The vacuum is created when you claim the birthday, because now all the time in the womb, I'm using that, all the time in the womb has been forgotten. So that's a giant void that needs to be filled. It's a giant void that needs to be filled. What do they fill it with? I call it a space holder. They fill it with a statutory character created by legislation to fill the space all the time in the womb because you forgot about it. So their birth certificated character is a space holder. It's occupying the space fictitiously until you pull yourself together, until you get it. And then the space holder is no longer necessary. So the account of the space holder, the account of the space holder, it doesn't exist separately from you. You've already evolved beyond it. But because you keep claiming a birthday, their account, their separate account, their minor account exists until it becomes one. Until you do what? They call it atonement, until you atone. What is atone? A-T-O-N-E. At one.
Wow.
So until you become one, until you atone, you're considered broken. And if you're broken, you need salvation. If your ship is left behind back there, it needs to be salvaged. So the state does a salvage operation, the church does salvation, and again, those two states are not united.
Horror vacui.
Horror vacui. There's a vacuum that needs to be filled, so nature won't allow it. So the fact that you have lost your mind and keep claiming a birthday, they create a statutory placeholder, and all they do is fill that space, and they're saying they're bridging a gap. Think about it. It's a bridge over troubled waters. It's a ferry boat that gets you across the River Styx. I don't care what you call it, but it doesn't actually exist in reality. They created all these stories so that they can get paid in their historical timeline. One last thing about this is that if I'm present, I've been present since the beginning. I mean, when mom and dad lay together, it was today. When the zygote was created, it was today. All of the time, I mean, when I was sitting in my fifth grade class picture, it was today. Every moment of my existence is today. So it's been one long today for me, which is the present moment. And the present and the past are mutually exclusive. I can never, actually, if I'm always present, I never participated in the past because I've always only been present. That's why the past, it shouldn't bother you because you've never been there. You've never been in the past, Chad. And you've never been in the future.
It's crazy because you even horror vacui is part of the whole fiction. I mean, some people would stop here and say, "What horror vacui? They're creating a vacuum." But the truth is that even the horror vacui is nothing. You know what I mean? Doesn't
Real.
Have to be a thing. Yeah.
It's not a thing. If I'm talking to you right now, then horror vacui never happened. There was never a hole.
Yeah.
There was never a space in time or space between fertilization and the birthday, because I'm talking to you right now, and if you're living right now, you've been living the whole time.
It's crazy. They use horror vacui, horror, and also plenism is called. Plenism. Interesting. Very interesting. By Aristotle, attributed to Aristotle, who articulated a belief. Later, okay. Interesting. All right. can I bounce you to another topic?
Yeah, it'll all come back to the same place, I guarantee it.
All right. So, a war to be is, you know, fight or struggle over a particular end. All the wars, you know, when I try to explain this, I come into a stumbling point explaining what's going on, and I know it's none of our business, but I still like to see what they've done and how they've done it. I like to identify the mechanism. So I know that it's history, but I still sometimes like to break it apart just to get better at it. You know what I mean? The war, I was curious about this. So if in World War II, for example, in the concentration camps, and all that, and I would like to know your take on this, because on World War II specifically, and because I know that they're using words and the things all mean something else, and I know that you can see it. So I was curious what your thoughts were on a World War II in concentration camps, if it means something else.
To me?
I don't know. I don't know if you want to.
Well, I mean, I might embarrass a few people.
It's your call. I don't know.
it's interesting because you said concentration camp.
Yeah.
If you knew the legal term camper, if you understood the idea of concentrating elements, to concentrate elements is to put everything into a singular mass. That's concentration. So mass. The mass graves, the mass killing of the Jews in World War II, right?
Right.
Okay, well, first of all, understand the Jew. The time in the womb look at Judeo-Christian. This is the easiest way to look at it. Judeo-Christian. Judeo-Christian. The time in the womb is Judeo. The hyphen is the umbilical cord, and the Christian is the baby outside the womb. So if you clamp and cut the cord, you have the Christian outside the womb, New Testament, and then all of the Judeo, Jew, the in the womb, Anu Mundi calendar character in the womb. How do I know this? If you go to the Gregorian calendar, which is the Christian calendar, it starts at the year 1. Which means it doesn't take into account any of the time from 0 to 1, which is the time in the womb. And that's the Anu Mundi calendar, which is the calendar of the world. So the Anu Mundi calendar begins at 0 and goes to, whatever, 5784. So that's 5,784 years. That's the Jewish calendar. So right now for them it's the year 5784. And it starts at 0. Well, the Christian calendar starts at 1 and goes to 2024. So it doesn't include any of the 0 to 1. Well, that's the time in the womb. So I want you to really think about the Judeo-Christian world. Judeo is the time in the womb. The hyphen evidences the umbilical cord or the attachment, and then the Christian is the baby outside. Baby umbilical and extra-embryonic. Baby umbilical and extra-embryonic. The baby's the Christian outside the womb. The umbilical cord's the hyphen, and the extra-embryonic material that evidences your link to creation is the Judeo part, the Jew.
Oh, my gosh.
So now look at the definition of war in Webster's, and like you said, at 2B, it says a struggle or competition for a particular end. Particular end. Well, that's the cut end. Well, what's the cut end? The part that was left behind? That's the Jew. And remember, this is the definition of war. So the war begins at the cut, and the cut results in a separation of that outside the womb from that which is inside the womb left behind, and, of course, the stuff left behind inside the womb dies. Genocide. Well, who's been killed? The Jew.
Oh my gosh, Kurt. Wow.
So genocide is the death of the material inside the womb, the Judeo part, or the Anu Mundi part, between 0 and 1, missing from the Christian calendar. That's what's killed off. So this is actually the killing of the Jews, but most people don't get it. They don't realize that the time in the womb is unaccounted for on the Christian calendar, because starting at 0 to 1, that's all Anu Mundi, year of the world, the beginning of the world, and that's sacrifice, but that's also the Jew. So again, by clamping and cutting the cord, in their world, in their narrative, the Jew is executed, or the Jew is killed off. And of course, who's king of the Jews?
Jesus.
Jesus. So who's executed? Evidencing
oh my
the
God.
King of the killing. Yes. So Jesus is executed, and that's the mass execution of the Jews in the war. And of course, that's the genocide. But what happens in reality? Nothing. Nothing happens. I've evolved beyond all that. Yeah, they clamped and cut the cord. Yeah, they let that piece of me die. If they want to call it a Jew, they can call it a Jew. But it's part of my existence. You see what I'm getting at? The label doesn't mean anything to me. Christian doesn't mean anything. Jewish doesn't mean anything because in nature there are no labels. So, but
I don't know if I want to puke or cry. I'm like, well, so this that's crazy. What you're saying makes so much sense. But now I'm thinking about the disease of the people who are taking the narrative of the killing of the Jews
concentration,
and
the concentration camps. Yes.
Man, that's
but that's
crazy.
Why you're that's why when you hear the word happy camper, you better know what the word camper means in from Black's Law 5th edition. I don't have mine with me, but I'm telling you right now, the camp. The concentration of all of that biology, that's the public pool. The public pool is all of that cut material concentrated into one singular black mass. That's the Holocaust.
I'm going to camper right now. Let me do it. Because I realize that every time I go in and I do it myself, the word gets locked in. Like, you have to do it yourself. So let me. I'm already in black.
All right, I'll do it. I'll do it with you. I'm going to go to camper legal definition.
Okay, I'm gonna go to Blacks here. So here, one second.
Okay, I don't have access to that, so I'm gonna go to Camper at Webster's, but I'm gonna go down to legal.
Do you want me to do Black's Law or no?
Yeah, you do Blacks. I'll do Webster's.
Okay.
Because
okay.
A happy camper is actually an oxymoron.
All right, let me see. I'm so intrigued, but I'm so okay. Let me see. I'm almost there. Let's see. I have a PDF, so I'm just going to scroll here.
Yeah, this is pretty heavy stuff, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and again, lately I've been, instead of just listening, I've been going to the words, and I can't tell you how much that just doing it yourself, like, really embeds it. All right, so camper. All right, I am... C-A-N-C-A-M.
Do you have my book? Did you say you bought?
I did. Yeah, I did. I have both of them right here.
And this is the back cover is going to come into play now. Where you see the boat on that island?
Let me see this. Okay. Back cover. Yeah.
Oh, you see the boat on the island?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to tell you before you even start talking that boat is a vehicle or a vessel on a piece of ground, on a piece of land. Now look at the definition of camper.
Okay, campers, a share, temperatures, share, a temperatus, I'm sorry, that's a temperatus division of, or sharing of land. Okay, let me do that again. A share, a temperatus division or sharing of land.
So,
wow.
If you were me, you would look up champeter. But it also says a share. Now, if you're whole and you're the owner of your biology, does anybody share in that biology?
No.
No. What happens if a piece of you, the boat you came in on, the Ark of the Covenant, the outer shell that was surrounding you in the womb, what if that boat, that vehicle, that vessel gets left behind on a piece of ground? And now you're sharing that position in time and space. Well, guess what? The fetal maternal placenta evidences a sharing. It evidences a composition of matter if it is looked at as one organ. If the placenta is looked at as a singular organ with two owners, then it's going to look at as sharing that piece of ground, sharing that. But the reality is that your biology is always separate from mom's. Mom's biology is always separate from you. So it requires them to what? To confuse those issues, to confuse it. So now your biology is being confused intentionally with mom's through the fetal maternal placenta, which is the birthday cake, the original birthday cake, which gets the title, the birth certificate. So it's the placenta that gets the birth certificate. So Curtis Richard Kallenbach evidences the fetal maternal sharing of the placenta, which is the camper. My boat is camped out. The boat that I came in on that's left behind as part of the placenta is actually the champeter. So that's why, are you a happy camper? Well, hell no, I'm not a camper at all.
Oh my God, that's so insane. How did they do that? They weaved it in every expression. But before I lose it here, you said something that I'd never thought of before again. Confused. But I never thought of the word fuse as in like a fusion. Confused. Right. That's craziness.
Right. It's confused. And so, but it's, in reality, it's not. Because you've already come out of her. Your biology is always separate from mom's. It started at fertilization, which is before. By the way, we never finished this conversation, and that is this. Because you were going there, but I cut you off so you wouldn't get ahead of me. The first 7 days floating in space prior to implantation, that's Genesis 2:2 King James Version, where it says, on the seventh day God rested. So think about that. God is creation. Fertilization, the first 7 days you're floating in the waters of mother, but then you land. And that's where God rests. God rests at the moment of implantation. What's weird about that is when you plant into the uterine wall, which came first? Did you exist before implantation?
No. Yes, of course.
You got to listen to what I'm asking. You got to really listen to what I'm asking, because most people think they're trick questions. They're not. They're very simple. Did you exist before you implanted into the uterine wall?
Yes, of course. Yes.
Okay, now here's the question. If you existed before implantation and mom adjusted her uterine wall to accommodate you, and that adjustment's called an accretion, and that uterine wall accretion becomes the part of becomes the placenta. Did the stuff that mom created for your support, did it exist before or after you?
After.
After. I don't care that the uterine wall existed before you. I'm talking about the accretion, or the part that mom created specifically for your residency in her uterine wall. She did that for you, specific to you, specific to that situation, and she did it after you existed. So first in time. You're always first. You're the first one there. You're the only one there. I don't care. But that piece of ground that mom created, is that accretion, is the only thing created at implantation. And let me say this. Implantation, the word conception was redefined to mean implantation back in the late 60s, early 70s. So when you say conception now, you're not talking about creation. Fertilization is creation of life. But conception happens, i.e. implantation. Conception happens like 7 days later. So fertilization is creation of you. Conception is you planting into the wall of the uterus, and conception is also known as pregnancy. So even though you exist 7 days before upon creation, mom is still not considered pregnant until you plant into her uterine wall. This is important because the only thing created at conception, the only thing created at your implantation is the accretion, the maternal part of the placenta. That's the only thing created at implantation or conception. And this is where you got very specific on me early, because when 280 days later, baby comes off the wall, Humpty comes down off the wall and leaves behind the rest of him, Dumpty. Got it? Humpty Dumpty is your whole godly estate, your whole kingdom. But when baby Humpty comes out of mom and they clamp and cut the cord, leaving behind Dumpty. Here's what happens.
You know, oh yeah.
When Dumpty comes out, he's going to have a piece of mom attached, that which is the accretion. Well, what's funny is that the birth certificate is for it's specific to the fetal maternal placenta. Well, if I'm already out here, if I'm out of mom, then the fetal maternal placenta that evidences a little piece of my biology and a little piece of mom's. Well, if they're talking conception, if all of their law is built around the word conception, and the only thing conceived is the maternal part of the placenta, they're never talking about me. They're talking about mom or mom's part. The conception is mom's biology, not mine.
That's so a great way to see it.
The birth certificate is not for me at all. It's actually the church. The maternal part of the uterine wall that was created specific for my survival in the waters of mother, that piece, that's the island you're looking at on the back cover. That's the piece of mom, the piece of ground, but it's also the dowry. That's the piece of ground mom gave to me specifically to keep me alive, to get me to the new world. Mom, I have a right of way over that land. Nobody else does. By the way, there was no man in there directing traffic. Stan Kurt, over here, this is where you land. This is your slip. This is your birth. This is your birth over here, Kurt. Park it here. No, there was no man in there. This is all nature. Once you understand nature, all of this fucked up bullshit goes away. But you better damn well know the biology. And I'm disgusted, man. Go ahead.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. But that word accretion, something just clicked there for me now too, because it's Heath versus Brazelton, right? Is when the redirected the current and the bank changed, right? The stuff. Well, it just made sense a little bit more for me, which is when you land into the wall and the accretion, the placenta is formed. It's because the ship, the vessel that landed, has changed the current, so to speak. And it formed the accretion, right?
Yes. Eve versus Brazelton is the case I always bring up, because the mom's biology is created by you landing in her uterine wall. Put it a different way. So I'm floating down the river of mom's waters. And implantation, what it really is when I, about 7 days later, when God rests, I come to rest. I'm going to use the word beach, but I'm really not. I'm going to say I come to rest on the bank.
Wow.
Mom's uterine wall is the bank of the river. And I'm talking about the bank, where all of your goods are stored, where all of your property is stored, where all of your value is stored, is in the bank.
Wow.
And so the biology on the back cover of that book, where my boat is on her beach, branded, my boat evidences all of my value, all of my inheritance, all of my legitimacy. It evidences that. So my boat is left behind on her bank. The placenta, the fetal maternal placenta, evidences my boat, the fetal part, on her bank, the maternal part, the accretion. So X marks the spot where what? Where all the treasure's located. One man's trash is another man's treasure.
Oh,
so I leave behind my boat. It's looked at as a wreckage or a junked vehicle or vessel, and that becomes the treasure or treasury left behind in their bank, on their bank.
Oh, my goodness.
And then I forget about it, so I'm disconnected from my own inheritance. I disconnect me from my boat, which is on the bank. And then, of course, what do I do all the rest of my life? I sign next to the X, which marks the spot, and so I'm giving my energy over to that X, my boat, and, of course, what do? They raid. Their pirates come over, and they take all the shit out of this trust property, this location, where I don't even know the boat exists.
My
I'm still
goodness.
Celebrating a birthday like an infant. But the bank is the uterine wall. The real bank, all the way down, the conceived bank, that is the accretion. And that's the only thing created at conception. So again, in their legal world, they keep using the word conception because they mean implantation. They don't mean creation.
Wow.
This is contrary to nature. Everything they're doing is 100% contrary to reality.
Absolutely. But to know what they've done, to know what they've done is necessary. I mean, but to also know that all of it is just bullshit, it is another level. It reminds me of the Bourne Identity. It's just unbelievable how they describe what you just said. When Jason Bourne is found unconscious floating in the water in the opening scene, and when they pick him up with the big cord and the thing, they bring him out of the water, they cut off his wetsuit, and the camera really closely shows the blade going off to the right to open the suit, and then the guy takes out two bullets. The first one he puts into a metal container, ding, and then although they have a cut on the second one, but they're implying that they're taking part of it on a deposit. You know, that's the symbology there. They take a piece and they put it in the pot, in the bucket. And that's what they were doing. But my point is that everything you say, they describe all the time.
Well, Bourne, the very title is not B-O-R-N, it's B-R-N-E.
Right.
And it's the Bourne Identity. Two things before I forget. Number one, he was floating in water, but he was floating in international waters.
Interesting.
Which is international, which is metric system, metric cut, metric weighed, metric, the metric system itself, international. The other thing that you haven't got to yet is that there was another little piece in him that had a Swiss bank account number in it.
That's right.
It's the bank. The bank account,
yes,
that he didn't even know he had implanted.
Oh, my goodness.
Implant. He had a bank account implanted.
Oh, my gosh.
And by the way, Bourne, B-O-R-N-E, defined, is this. At Webster's, it says, transported or transmitted by. Transmitted. So the Bourne Identity is a way to transmit something from one place to another. Well, that's what the birth certificate is. It's a way to transmit. It's a transmitting utility where it captures your energy through your own claim. I claim the birthday character, so all my energy goes onto that boat. It goes into the boat. But where's the boat located? On the bank.
That's crazy, Kurt. Oh, my gosh.
So wow. all my value is disconnected from me, and it's attached. It goes into the boat on the bank, but you know what? I don't know that it's even there. So by me claiming the infancy, which is the birth certificated fetal material still attached to mom's uterine wall bank, guess what? I'm subject to regency the rest of my life, subject to trust, so the fiduciaries have access to all of my energy. And it's been a breach of trust for a really long time. They've been stealing everybody's shit, you know, willy-nilly. They're just taking it because nobody apparently wants their property because everybody says, oh, I want to be part of a trust. Kurt, you got to set up a trust. Fuck you, I'm the owner. I'm the owner. I have a right of way over mom's property, but I'm the owner of my property. I'm the owner of my product. Everything I produce through this biology, intellectually, physically, genetically. If I dig a hole in the backyard, it's my hole because it was my energy that produced it. In reality, Chad, the thing is that nobody understands is that since nobody's been paid since FDR took the money out of the system since 1933, and then what? Distributed certificates of deposit, certificates of indulgence. I mean, nobody's been paid. So that means everything created since at least 1933, March 4, has a mechanics lien. The living people that produced all the energy, that supplied the energy to build everything, to create everything, the living have a mechanics lien on everything created since 1933. We own it all. The living own it all. But yet all these morons are out there telling me that you got to set up a trust so you can operate in the system, Kurt. So you can operate in the system. You got to have a trust. You got to learn how to operate. No, you don't. I'm the owner. And you know what? I'm the author of my life, so what I say goes. I define the context. I define the words. I'm the author. I'm not subject to somebody else's historical record. I've never been in history, so history doesn't apply to me. I'm fully present, all present, and accounted for from fertilization to last breath.
That this is the only thing that anybody needs to know for all the, for everything to change, for everything to, this is what you, where a person has to be. That, I mean, it's that simple. But
it's the supreme, the supreme being. To be is to be present. You keep claiming infancy and keep going back 365 days back to infancy, making that pilgrimage back to incapacity, going making that pilgrimage back to separation. Hey, it's your fault. And I mean F-A-U-L-T. It's your fault. You've claimed a fault. Hell, by claiming a birthday, you are at fault. The fault is the cut. Keep claiming it, and you will always be at fault.
They are infants. Those, everyone around me is an infant. Mentally, you, I see it that, like, that's crazy. They are relying. They are relying on the communal system. They're infant. I see this. Oh my goodness. They that is an infant mind. That's
it
alarming,
is.
And that's very. it makes me. It makes me very outside. It's so hard to communicate with people. Now knowing all everything that I know from you, it's so hard to exist with these people because I don't want to talk about anything else, and nobody wants to talk about what I'm talking about. But I came to a funny conclusion: is I used to feel bad. I'm like I was always shoving these ideas, and people. I don't know, I was like, oh, I'm too much. I get it, but I know it's true. But too much, and I'll back down. But now I'm saying, why do I have to entertain your bullshit fictional experience here and listen to your story about the club or your new whatever? Why do I have to listen to your fictional existence? Exactly.
As long as you don't, as long as you don't trespass, as long as you don't harm somebody else, you should never ever be brought into a court. You shouldn't ever be brought into a court. But again, if you're claiming the public character, if you're claiming that public office, that public official position, which is a public servant, by the way, that birth certificated person is the public servant. Most people going, hey, these elected officials, they're not the public servants. The birth certificated persons are the public servants. So there's a servitude. There's a servitude. But again, there's another legal maxim or law maxim that says res sua nemini servit. It says no one can have a servitude over his own property. Again, if you look at the boat, my boat on mom's island, it looks like two things, you know, bound together. That's the bondage, by the way. The placenta evidence is the bondage that the Declaration of Independence was actually making clear doesn't happen anymore. You know, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to do what? To dissolve the political bands. Well, what's the political band? The political band is my property looking like it's still attached to mom's property. That's the placenta. And, of course, who claims the placenta at Unum Sanctum in 1302? The Roman Catholic Church or the Pope claims the human creature, i.e. placenta. So as long as that placenta is in play as something separate from you, then Rome is claiming it. It's the Christian, by the way. It's the feto-maternal Christian. Feto, Jesus, maternal, Mary, the Jesus and Mary placenta. That's the church's story. That's the church's narrative. So the Roman Catholic Church, through Unum Sanctum, is claiming that character. Well, as long as you keep claiming the birthday, which is the birth of that Christianity, then you're subjecting yourself to Rome because Christianity is the official religion of Rome. Nobody gets this stuff. They want to keep, you know, pretending it's okay to remain the mental midget. You know, I don't have to grow up. I just have to keep believing in invisible men and saviors. Good for you. Good luck with that. By the way, what's really funny is I posted something the other day because the birth certificated character is a representation, a representation. It's a representative. It represents something. What does it represent? It represents the time that you resided in mom's uterine wall. That was a residence.
Oh,
you were a resident to the uterine wall. Res id entity. Resident.
Oh my God.
So the res is the object That's or subject crazy. Matter of a trust. The id, according to Freud, ID, the id is the infancy. So the res, the infant res, the infant biology, the resident is the infancy. And so,
oh,
and even that one
standing
went,
up on my arm. That is crazy. Res it had. Okay, go ahead.
And that's why I always found, this right here. Let me see if I can play it loud enough. Let me see. Ready? Tell me if you can hear it.
No.
Can you hear that?
No, I hear nothing.
Okay. Well, maybe it's recording. It's the Lollipop Guild from Wizard of Oz. We represent the Lollipop Guild. And there's a bunch of munchkins, a bunch of mini-me's. Well, guess that's the cut. The cut is the Lollipop Guild.
I'm going to cry.
And we represent the Lollipop Guild. Lollipop Guild, the child, the childhood, you know, the infant. But that's what the res id ent. The resident is the res, the subject matter of a trust. The id is the infancy, id, ego, superego. The id is the infant mass, the infant masses that are still claiming to be in the uterine wall, which is also known as the matrix. So all these people that are talking about, Kurt, how do we escape the matrix? Hey, listen, I've been out of my mom's womb for the better part of 64 years now. I'm not in the matrix. But what happens if you claim the record, the public record? What are you doing? You're reattaching to the mother, to the matrix. I mean, you're claiming the fetal-maternal birth certificated character, so the fetal-maternal evidences your biology still in the uterine wall, the placenta itself. So by claiming the birth certificated fetal-maternal position, you're still in the matrix. That's you reattaching, recording yourself to mother, the record, the record, the public record.
Okay, Wizard of Oz, I got to say this before we go too far. You say that about the Lollipop Guild. L. Frank Baum, in the original book, Dorothy wore silver shoes. And now, from what I understand, the silver was the color they represent to get back. It represents the umbilical at the end of the, you know, it represents that. So in the original story, she clicks her heels to activate the umbilical, which gets her back home. Like, that's straight, right? That's what they're doing.
No,
that's what they're doing.
I have a different take on it.
Please.
Her shoes were silver, but they turned them into ruby, right? I mean, for
right.
I'm going to go to Wikipedia. Tertium quid, T E R T I U M T E R T I U M space Q U I D. Tertium quid. At Wikipedia.
Okay. Yeah, I'm there, but it says titties. Tertium quid.
Here, are you Wikipedia?
I was, but it gave me a different tertius something else.
No, go to Wiki. Yeah, just Google Wiki, tertium quid, Wikipedia.
Perfect.
And there's a picture.
Okay, all right.
Of what looks like a stone.
Okay, I'm there.
You see the picture?
Yes.
So they're calling this combination of gold and silver electrum, like electricity, like energy. But they're saying it's a rare alloy of gold and silver. And it says it was used by Tertullian as an example of a tertium quid. Now, what is a tertium quid? It says a tertium quid refers to an unidentified third element that is in combination with two known ones. Well, the placenta. If the placenta is looked at as a single organ, but it has two different elements to it. Well, what are the elements of the placenta? It's a fetal maternal organ, so it has fetal biology, baby's biology, and maternal biology, mom's biology. So the placenta, if it's viewed as a new third thing, neither baby nor mom, then the placenta becomes a tertium quid. It has two, it's an unidentified third element. So the placenta comes out of, as afterbirth, comes out of mom. And they're looking at it, and they don't know what it is. What is this thing? They don't know. So they're looking at it, let's just say they look at it as a tertium quid. Why is it a tertium quid? Because it has two known elements, mom's biology and baby's biology, but it they're looking at it as a new third thing, a new third person, a new third party. What's weird about that?
Peanut butter cup.
A peanut butter cup. That's the best example I know of. I mean, it's the best example I ever could even think of. Is the peanut butter cup is neither peanut butter nor chocolate. It's a new third patentable thing in combination with chocolate and peanut butter, which is exactly what they're saying the placenta is. It's a new composition of matter that is patentable at 35 U.S.C. 101. 35 U.S.C. 101 is saying that this is an invention that is patentable. The placenta is an invention. Why? Because nobody's claimed it. They found it after birth. And so now they give it a title, Curtis Richard Kallenbach, the title to this third-party third person. And it's patented. So now they can fight over it. That's the war. The war is
and
over
electrum.
That. What? And it's electrum, but this is the part I wanted to get to. The United States has always used gold, and the Americas have always used silver. So when there's a bond between the United States and America, the United States of America, when there's a bond between the United States and America,
oh my God,
that's the electrum. What happens when you break the bond, when you separate baby from mom? Remember, America includes North, Central, and South America, and it was claimed by Latin Catholicism in 1493 through Inter Soterra. So that's Latin Catholic. It's Catholicism. Well, what about the United States? Well, that was founded by Protestants. So now you have the Protestant United States using gold and the Catholic America using silver, and it's bound together through a religious ceremony. So now the Catholics and Protestants bridge the gap or are bonded together through a tertium quid, which is the placenta. The placenta is both the gold, the baby, the connection to God, and the silver, the motherland. And that's the placenta. The placenta is electrum, and it becomes what? A transmitting utility. It's able to, energy goes between the two. But look at the parity between gold and silver. There's like a 10 times difference. So if you're working for silver in America, but all your bills and all your debt is to the United States in gold, you're losing ground. You're working for silver. Hell, look at your paycheck. There's not even a gold symbol there. The gold symbol has two bars going through an S. They're using the peso symbol, and they have been using it for decades. The peso's the silver. So everybody's earning silver but paying gold.
Oh, my gosh, Kurt. That's crazy.
So the birth certificate is the bond between the United States and America. But I think that once people wake up and that bond is broken, I mean, I'm talking about legally broken, where it's not actually broken, it's merged into itself. I mean, when I know that I'm whole from fertilization to this moment, and I have a right of way over the maternal part, well, I'm the gold, I'm connected to God because that's creation, and I have a right of way over the maternal accretion, which is the Americas. the Latin church. And but it becomes a third party, third person, and that's what the UN is using. They call it a measure. And that's the measure that keeps the peace. It keeps the peace between the Protestants and Catholics. And that's why
I'm done with you. That's insane.
It's an ecumenical economy. Ecumenism is all the Christian churches, regardless of denomination, working together. Well, that includes all the Latin Catholics and all the Protestants, but they got to bridge the gap, and they do it through the placenta, the fetal maternal tertium quid transmitting utility called electrum. That's the placenta.
So the United Nations, say that again, what you said, please. They're taking the measure, and it's...
No, they're using the term measure.
Okay.
It measures the cut. So they're using the placenta as a third party, third person to keep the peace between the Protestants and the Catholics.
Oh, my goodness.
What happens when you know the truth and you know that there is no war? In nature, there's no war because nature doesn't there's no particular end to go after. And that particular end is the cut. It's a result of the cut. What happens when the cut doesn't happen, or what happens when you get in front of the cut with your knowledge? I know the cut occurred 64 years ago, Chad. I know it did. But I don't have to agree to it because I'm a pacifist. I don't agree to acts of violence. And the cutting of the cord is an act of violence against my entire godly estate. What's really weird is that the cutting of the cord is the piercing of Jesus. That they talk about Jesus' side being pierced. That's the cut. I didn't know what you were in for today.
this is mind blowing. It's so accurate. You're so right.
It's so easy.
So what does that have to do with Dorothy? What does that have to do with Dorothy's shoes? Something about her.
Oh, they changed it from silver to ruby just so people didn't. They didn't have the ability to see. But in the original story, she was wearing silver shoes, rather than the ruby slippers or whatever.
Okay.
And that's the thing is, remember what happened. This is so cool.
Can't wait.
Remember that there was a storm, a tornado. And that's how and it all started out in what? Black and white. The black and white of Kansas. The black and white. I mean, on the page, isn't everything in black and white?
Yes.
So in the story, it's all black and white. What's really weird, though, so she's in Kansas. She a storm's coming, a tornado's coming, and she doesn't make it into the shelter down below ground. She doesn't make it below ground to save herself. She runs into the house, and what happens? Some shit starts flying around in the house. She gets a bump on the head, and she goes unconscious.
Oh, my gosh.
She's unconscious.
That's the implantation. That's her going in the house. That's her going back into the tertium quid.
The unconsciousness evidences the not remembering. So what happens? When she thinks she wakes up, I mean, the house, In the unconscious position, the house leaves what? It leaves the United States, Kansas, one of the lower contiguous United States. It leaves the United States and goes into Never Never Land. Again, she's only unconscious. This shit never happens. She got a bump on the head. She was unconscious. The whole visit to Oz was in her unconscious state. The moment she wakes up, she's right back where she started. But until she wakes up, she's in Oz. Well, that's us. When we take the birth certificated character, when we keep it in mind, when we celebrate the birthday, we never make it home. We never wake up. But as soon as she wakes up, she's back where she started. Well, you know what? When we wake up, we're right here in the present moment. But until we wake up, we're stuck in the past. We're stuck in the black and white. You know what I mean? We're stuck in this shit. We're stuck in our own claims, with our own claims.
It's crazy. That's so crazy.
But it's easy. You can apply
it
this
is.
To every single situation at any. That's why I tell people, you can ask me anything. And when you see the biological parallel to it, when you see that it all resolves itself with the truth. The truth is, from fertilization and last breath, I'm all present and accounted for. I get it. By the way, this are you a Star Trek fan?
I haven't. And I was thinking about going from the beginning. I've seen it, the episode here and there, but I don't know enough. Please tell me.
Well, this is a fun way to look at this, but there's an episode with James T. Kirk, James T. period Kirk. By the way, the word Kirk or the name Kirk means church, etymologically. So he's the church, James T. period Kirk.
And the T is the cross.
The T, well, it is. It's Tiberius, but it's also the cross. And there's a dot there. There's a period there where that material's hanging on the cross. But again, they throw the last name in there, Kirk, as in the church. But I love this because there is an episode there called, I mean, that's about a term that they actually created called the Kobayashi Maru. Kobayashi Maru was a test that was given to potential Starfleet commanders. A test, and it's an unwinnable test, meaning that the potential candidate has to choose between this and that. But it was an unwinnable situation, unwinnable, just like the birthday. Heads you lose, tails they win. It's unwinnable because you're choosing between two extremes, and neither are true. So you are sacrificed whatever decision you make. But what happens when you don't make a decision or if you're never presented with the problem to begin with? What happens if you stop the war from ever happening? That's what I'm doing. From fertilization to last breath is true evolutionary due process, meaning from the single cell to this moment is evolutionary due process. Complete, not out of order, from that moment to this moment is exactly the way nature intended it to be. So there's nothing funny going on. Me standing here right now, I'm a direct product of the zygote 64 plus years later, if you see what I'm getting at. The zygotic acorn turned into the man oak. You know what I mean? I'm the oak.
You said that made it very clear what it means to have one biological experience. Is when you said the acorn to the tree, I saw it. I understood what it means to have one biological single experience or line.
The acorn has all the information in it to produce the oak tree. And so it is the oak tree, but it's actually in the form of an acorn, just like the zygote has all the information in it to create the man. And what happens, though, when you clamp and cut the cord? Well, then it terminates that pathway. And by creating a terminal point, the oak tree can't exist. You see what I'm getting at? If they do cut the umbilical cord, there's no evidence of the final product. There's no evidence of the fruit because the fruit's missing. So that terminal point with the cutting of the umbilical cord, the only evidence they have is a dead biological entity, which is the birth certificate, a decedent estate. But I want to get back to Kobayashi Maru real quick, because Kobayashi Maru is a cool idea, because James T. period Kirk, everybody else was following the rules. Everybody else was trying to deal with this unwinnable situation, which is the birthday, by the way. The birthday is a Kobayashi Maru. It is an unwinnable situation. If you claim the unborn, you fall to regency. If you claim the born, the baby on the land, you become an indigenous heathen on the land subject to conversion to Christianity. Either way, you lose. So the cut creates a Kobayashi Maru, an unwinnable situation. What happens if you can find a way to get in front of the cut through your knowledge? My knowledge gets me in front of the cut. It gets me in front of the birthday all the way back to creation called fertilization. My knowledge does that. Even though they clamped and cut the cord, I'm still here. But what they're doing becomes irrelevant because I'm still here. If I'm still using the biology created at fertilization, that's a continuous and contiguous, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Lifetime. Unbroken.
Yes.
So I evidence the unbroken right here. But if I keep claiming a birthday, legally, all they do is go to the public record and say, yep, here it is. There's a birth certificate in play here. So we got a decedent's estate to work with. We can plunder. We now have the license to plunder. Well, anyway, back to Kobayashi Maru. the unwinnable situation that every cadet found himself in. What did James T. Kirk do? He said, listen, this is unwinnable. This whole scenario, they're cheating. They're making it so I can't win. So what did Kirk do? He reprogrammed the event. He reprogrammed it to where it wasn't unwinnable or it never happened to begin with. That's what I'm doing. By going all the way back to fertilization and getting in front of the violent act, in front of the war, the war never begins. The war never begins. There is no particular end. And if there's no particular end, I don't have to choose the unborn versus the born. The unborn decedent estate versus the born heathen. You see what I'm getting at? I don't have to make the choice. Ever.
You
so
have
I
to know.
Reprogrammed, I reprogrammed the game in my mind to no game at all. I'm right back to nature. I now have eliminated the game.
I love it. But well, you have to go for the birthday to get to a person has to go through the understanding of what the birthday is. They have to get there to get to the truth, right? I mean,
no,
you'd have to understand.
You don't. You have to forget the birthday is even a thing because it's not.
Okay, fair
in nature.
Fair enough.
I mean, there's no squirrels out there, you know, celebrating birthdays. I've never seen a group of squirrels standing around a placenta or a birthday cake singing birthday songs. Nature doesn't care. Nature doesn't give a shit about man's beliefs or ideas or rituals or anything else. It just is. And isness is what we're trying to get back to. We're trying to get back to is, what actually is, and that's truth. And that's it. That's the answer to everything. Truth answers everything. John 10:30 or John 8:32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You realize you're already free. You realize right where you're at right now, you don't need to, what? You don't need to change your status. I got to change my status so they wreck the bullshit. I'm already here. I've been here the whole time. I don't have to change anything. I'm not trying to accommodate the bullshit. I'm not trying to accommodate the fiction. Fictio Sedet Veritati says fiction yields to truth.
Yes. And also you, I think that the present moment, that we're, no one's in the present. No one's present. I mean, I feel like I am, and I know you are, but I don't know if we talked about this before, but in the present moment is really where all the magic is. It's really, if you can really understand what that means, because it seems so simple and people are just like, yeah, of course I'm present. But when you really understand what that means, is like there's no history, there's no, none of it exists around you, and you're finally present. It's really quite magical, to be honest.
You're using the word magic, but let me actually inject.
Please.
What it really is, that magic, what appears to be magic, is the powers that be.
Yeah.
The powers that be imply presence. You have to be present to have that power. What happens if everybody keeps claiming a historical, fictitious character frozen in time in the past? Are they present? And if they're not present, they're lacking the powers that be.
Yes.
It's that simple. No, if you're not present, you don't be. You're not be. It's to be or not to be, and there's your choice. You just made it. Happy birthday.
To be or not to be. There's another definition. To be, what was the word? There's a lot of to be definitions.
War.
War is one, but there's another really good one. I just looked it up. It was child. Oh, no. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to think of it now. But
I like to be in the definition for war at Webster's, because the war itself, the cut, the particular end that's created with the cut is to not be. If the war begins, then you're not, meaning you're not, you don't exist in the present. So you're not present. You don't be. You can't be. So to be, what's really funny in Webster's is at to be, it defines the war as a competition over a particular end. Well, that's to be. So they're telling you where you're not. But
wow.
once you negate the cut, once you get beyond all that nonsense, and you are present, all present, and accounted for, nothing left behind, nothing left back there to be raptured. That's the powers that be. I am the powers that be. I am the powers that be.
Je suis.
This is simple. But what happens if I keep claiming a character lost in time or lost, frozen in on a Gregorian calendar, you know, in the year 2024, and the Jews, the banking Jews, the banks, are going from 0 to 5784, and so the Christians are all lost back there in time. They're lost back there on a calendar, 3,760 years in the past. They're frozen in time, frozen in the past. You're not present when you claim a Christian calendar birthday.
The
You're not
Jews
present.
Running the banking system.
The bank.
That just blows my mind. It's the same thing as you were saying about the World War II thing. That's crazy. These terms. Okay, I have to ask you. Okay.
Go ahead.
Can I throw you off for a loop? Off loop here. And this
you
one's for
so?
My brother. No, what I mean is,
you
can
think
I
you
read?
Can.
Take you in another random because I got okay. Epstein Island. What the hell is? What's the coding? What are they? What's going on? It's got to be something. With it's got to be related to this. Do you mind doing that one?
Well, first of all, I mean, I first of all, Epstein is Jew. But what is it? What exactly is supposed to have happened on that Jewish island or Epstein Island? Tell me exactly what the crime that is supposedly happened. What is it?
I don't follow much, but I think they're saying that there is evidence of people doing. Evidence of people doing shady shit, and the guy who had all that information was gonna use it against them. Is that or was that the case?
What was the shady shit that was going on that island?
Hold on, I got it. It's
sexual exploitation something. Of children.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, well let me address that, because just like Jews aren't killing babies, Christian babies, Jews aren't doing that. Remember that we're talking about the afterbirth being sacrificed. That's the child. The afterbirth
right.
is the born alive child. And by the way, the only born alive child that is conceived, remember, the word born, the legal term born alive says it's a product of conception. What's the product of conception? Remember, it's not the product of fertilization, which is the being. What's the product of conception?
Placenta.
The accretion,
maternal,
the uterine wall accretion.
The accretion, yes.
Okay, so that is female. Remember, that's mom's biology. So that's that born alive product of conception, the maternal wall accretion, is called a uterine sister because it comes out of the uterus. It is born alive, and it is female. So I come out of my mom's uterus, and here I am. But the afterbirth comes out with that maternal wall accretion, and that's considered born alive uterine sister. It's considered a sibling of mine, even though it's just afterbirth. But legally, they call it a sister, my uterine sister. Now, the reason that's important is because the birth certificated child is that uterine sister. It's a child. It also has part of my biology on it, which is infant biology. So the placenta evidences me biologically, an infant boy, and it evidences an infant or a female biology, which is my uterine sister accretion. Now here's why that's important. The birth certificate is always celebrated every year. So that biology, the birth certificated child, never grows beyond childhood. I'm going to ask you a question
years.
And it's going to hurt. I'm going to ask you a question and it's going to hurt.
Okay.
You go to work, correct? You go to a job?
Yes.
And you use a social security number, correct?
Yes.
Attached to what?
Attached to the birth certificate.
To the birth certificated child. So you are also exploiting children. You are putting children to work. You are using a child for your own benefit through the birth certificated character. So if Epstein, if they're making this giant story about an island that is exploiting children, it's all nonsense. The children are the birth certificated characters. That's all. So again, by you even going to work using the birth certificated character, you are trafficking in children. You're trafficking that child. And so is everybody else using a social security number. Everybody is actually involved in child sex trafficking or child abuse. Everybody using the birth certificated character is guilty of all of that shit because the birth certificated character is a child. You're using the child to make money. You're the pimp.
That's crazy. So the list of the people, what does the list of the people have to do with it? Why do they keep bringing up the list? I mean, these people
everybody. No, they could put my name on that list. Because up to a certain point, I was exploiting Curtis Richard Kallenbach, the birth certificated child. Do you realize that the Palermo Protocols says that trafficking in persons begins with the removal of an organ? That's trafficking. You can go to the Palermo Protocols right now, go to Article 3, and read it for yourself. Trafficking in persons, the very last three words includes the removal of organs. That's the cutting off of the umbilical cord and placenta. That's a removal of an organ. That's trafficking in persons. There's no way you're going to get out of this. Everybody's involved in every criminal act you can even imagine. They don't even know they're involved in it. But listen, Chad, that's also the best thing you've ever heard, because it's all bullshit. That means that children really aren't being subjected to this shit on Epstein Island. That means that all the stuff, all the Jews sacrificing all these children isn't happening. It means it's all made up. It's all bullshit to keep all of us separate, to keep all of us divided. The moment we wake up, we come together and go, holy fuck, the guys that created this story, they have to go. Divide and conquer. They're dividing us in every possible way. Through a birthday. Hey, you wanted to do this call.
that's, I'm not going to lie. I've got watery eyes. That's intense.
Yeah, but it's beautiful because now you realize that all the shit, when they say, all kinds of bodies of children were found in these tunnels. No, they weren't. You realize that if they put a birth certificate, a certificate itself in a file cabinet underground, that's a child underground. I'm talking about in a file cabinet. If they put a birth certificate in a file cabinet down in the basement, that's a child underground. So they find a bunch of files that are birth certificates or relating to certificates. That's a bunch of children, not real biological bodies. They're talking about paper. And they found all these children underground. Yeah, whatever. So when I hear this shit, I just keep going because it doesn't bother me, because I know all that sensationalism is nothing more than another narrative to keep us afraid or confused, when in reality, I'm all present and accounted for from fertilization to last breath, and I'm innocent from that moment all the way until I'm dead.
Yeah. Well, just for the record, I don't watch any of it. I just you hear people talking,
It's
and
not none of it's
now I
true.
know,
I'm gonna make that statement right now. None of it's true.
and it's just and I see that, and I feel that, and I see that, and that's amazing. It's sad that if everyone's falling for it, it's crazy. I looked up the word child the other day. I was trying to tell my brother about it. And when I, okay, now that I know the definition, every time they use child in the in those kinds of statements, like 12 women and children are decapitated, and I know now what it means, and it's pretty
You do
powerful.
know. You do know that the placenta, the feto maternal. I know people shut down when I say this stuff because they're too fucking intellectually lazy. They don't want to hear feto maternal. I don't know what he's saying. Feto is my biology, the fetal biology. The maternal is part of mom. So the placenta is a feto maternal organ. Feto maternal. Mother and child. Women and children. The placenta is women and children. Everything is fake. Everything. They got us hating everybody. They got us hating each other. They got us blaming the Jews, blaming the Christians, blaming everybody but the ones that are actually creating the story. By the way, look at how easy this is to understand. If the once upon a time Gregorian calendar realm is fiction, and it is. I mean, I'm biological, I'm substance, I'm in reality. But the characters born to that timeline are all fictitious. All of the stories built upon that story are all fictions. Here's my question to you. In a fiction, in a work of fiction, you and I go to a movie. Let's just make it easy. You and I decide to, I come down there and we're drinking some beers, having lunch, and we hang out for a week or so. We find a good movie we want to go to and we go. We're sitting in the theater. Watching, and there's some really horrendous characters in this movie, telling the greatest lies, creating or doing the most egregious and unbelievable nasty ass things in the movie. Is any of it true?
No.
When a character lies to another character in the movie, is it a lie? Or is it just
No.
words that the script writer wrote? It's all fiction. So there are no bad guys, there are no good guys, there are no liars, there are no truth tellers. It's just actors playing roles in a story. Well, what happens if all of this shit going on, the Epsteins of the world, they're just acting as bad guys, good guys, the guys
Oh
at the World Health
no.
Organization.
Are
They're
you
all just
serious?
playing roles and they're getting us to believe it. So we take the vaccines, so we put on the mask, so we do all this shit, but they're not doing anything. They're just showing us a movie and we believe it. But there are no bad guys. Do you realize none of these guys go to jail or prison? Because they're just actors playing roles. In a screenplay or a script that was created by the guys that are ruling this world or that world,
I'm
not reality,
nauseous.
that world.
Oh
But
my
there aren't,
God, that's
that's why nobody goes
crazy.
to jail. They don't go to jail because they didn't do anything wrong, because it really didn't happen.
Oh my God, that's crazy. I just thought even more. That's crazy.
There are no bad
Holy
guys.
shit.
There's no good or evil. Do you realize in nature, nature is considered what's known as amoral? You have immoral, moral, and amoral. Moral is an agreement between people saying this is acceptable, this is not acceptable. That's morality. Immoral is going against that agreement or going against that standard. But nature is amoral. There is no evil. There is no good. There is no bad guy. There is no good guy. There's nothing. When a wolf chomps down on that sheep, it's not murder. It's nature. Nature's amoral. There's no judgment in nature. So when you
Okay, I
finally
gotta jump
wake
in
up,
here. I got to jump in here because I just read the other week. I read all of Unum Sanctum for the first time, not just the last part. I read the whole thing, and well, when he says create like to beginning, unless he create to beginnings like Manichaeus, unless like Manichaeus, he create two beginnings. Well, I went down the Manichaeus path, and Manichaeism, you just reminded me of it because Manichaeism is like a dual, it's believing in good. There's an idea of good and evil, a creator and a destroyer. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Here, let me. Sure, let me. I went down that path 10 years ago. Yeah, Manichaeism is a duality, and everybody says, well, the world is about duality. No, it's not. It's about wholeness. There is no duality, good and evil. No, there's not. There's just, yeah. It just is. It's equilibrium. Nature, everything's trying to find its place, which is equilibrium. I don't have to kill off the bad guy, you know what I mean, to become the good guy. There is no bad guy. I'm just one. One doesn't have sides. One, wholeness, truth, doesn't have sides. You can't take sides in truth. There's only one truth. Oh, but my truth is better than your truth. That's called perspective. And most people, again, are so screwed up thinking that what they're seeing is truth when it's not. When the hammer hits my thumb, it's going to hurt. In spite of, oh, but the molecular, the atomic structure, there's more space than there is solids, and the hammer could, if you knew how to do it, pass through your thumb. Fuck you. Not in this world it can't. It can't do that in this world. So the physical realm, the world that our biology exists in, has rules. It's called natural law.
So it's essential in this whole process for them to create this concept of dual reality at the cut because they need that in the foundation for us to stay in the fiction. They need this to be embedded in our minds of a dual duality of a good and evil. They need that for us to stay. Yeah, know what I mean? That's essential for them to implant in us this idea of dualism.
And so the birthday, which we all celebrate, it's the immersion in their fiction. A fish doesn't know it's wet. It's born into the water. It exists in the water. The fiction is the water. We're born into it. We're too young to know that reality exists separate or outside of that or includes the fiction. It includes the fiction. So the fiction is only a subset. By the way, I should say this right now because truth is all or nothing. 100% is all. And truth is all or nothing, meaning that something is either all true or not true at all. 99.9999999% of truth is still a lie. It's still an omission. And to omit all is to tell a lie. So unless you accept truth as an entirety, a 100% all the time, you're the one that is creating that omission. You're the one, through your perspective or your beliefs, you're the one omitting what is absolutely true. So again, perspective, the only thing we can ever do is decide away from truth because truth is. So all we can do is accept truth. But if we make a decision contrary to truth, that's an omission and that's a lie. So we can't do anything but accept truth. But if we don't accept truth, we're going to be subjected or suffer the consequences of that non-truth. Every time.
The problem is that people don't know that they're not accepting truth. I mean, they don't
know
that
they're not. Right, that's what I'm doing right now. I'm trying to get people to understand that reality and nature doesn't give a rip about what you believe or think or feel or anything. It's already happening. It's going to continue to happen. It's called is. Hell, I remember way back in the 90s when Bill Clinton, you know, jokingly said, it depends on what the definition of is. Because he knew this was all a farce. It was all a farce. I mean, did he actually have an affair with that woman? I don't know. Who cares? It's not my business. and it's not detrimental to me because the United States isn't my company. I don't work for it. I don't care what happens in the United States as a business or a corporation. It's none of my business. My business begins
that.
At fertilization. It begins at fertilization and ends with my last breath, and it's private. It's private. I have no business with the United States that I know of.
Every time I walk through there's cameras everywhere around here, and you're always, well, in the back of my mind, I keep hearing you say the thing about the cameras and how it's a trespass if you know your origin is fertilization. It's a trespass, but it's just presumed that everyone is the birth certificated character owned by the state that they can do this. So every time I'm walking through it, like everywhere there's a camera, there's a lot in Miami Beach. Oh my gosh. They're everywhere. And so I'm
But how many, Chad, how many people have rebutted the presumption of the public persona? I mean, do you realize that if that camera catches my image, I'm not giving anybody the right to photograph me, you know? Or take my picture of me unless I authorize it directly. That's a trespass. They don't have any right to follow me, to follow me with their eyes, to follow me with their cars. They don't have any right to follow me.
You know, it wasn't until like the second time I heard that, the third time I heard that episode, or segment, whatever, on your podcast, is like took me three times to understand how powerful that was. Because at first I was like, yeah, I mean, that makes sense. But then to really understand that they really don't have any right to do any of it.
Hi, how are you?
Good. It takes a while. It does. It takes a while, but once you get it, everything makes sense. And that's but it's hard because most of us still think that there's, well, okay, I've cleared away all the ghosts, I've cleared away all the dead bodies, and I get it now. Well, all of a sudden somebody asks me a question, and I go, well, apparently you don't get it. You don't get it. Because it's all or nothing. The mm-hmm. truth is all or nothing. And if you're holding on to anything that is a subset or that isn't complete or isn't entirely true, it's not true. And now you've made a claim that you need to prove, and you can't prove it because it's not true. You can't prove a negative. So if you're telling me something that's not all true, you can't prove it. How can you prove you have a birthday? Because it's not true. You don't have a birthday, and neither can they. They can't prove it either. So let the burden of proof fall on the people that are making the claims. You stand in the light of truth, and let everybody else fall on their swords.
The two swords.
The S word, yeah.
All right, cool. Oh, my God. All right, well, I actually have to, speaking of Social Security, I have to go to work soon. I have to start getting ready. So, I mean, this was mind-blowing. My head is spinning. It's amazing. It's amazing. Thank you so much.
No, we can talk anytime you want. Just you let me know and you can come. We'll do this again. But I do want to leave you with this, is that the fetal maternal placenta, that those two pieces together, that tertium quid, that presumed tertium quid, becomes, in their world, what would they call it? It becomes the social contract. Rousseau is the one that created the idea of the social contract. But it is a product, the social contract is a product of the fetal maternal bundle. Remember, those two things are bundled together. They're bonded together. So the placenta looks like a bundle of joy, like you would call a baby, right? A bundle of joy or a child. But the placenta is a bundle of product, but it's actually a bundle of rights. It's some of your rights and some of mom's bundled together, and that bundle evidences a social contract with the rest of the public. But what happens when you know that those two don't belong together? If they don't belong together, there's no bundle of rights. If there's no bundle of rights, there's no social contract. And everything going on in the public is based upon that social contract. You've just eliminated the presumption that you're party to the social contract, which means nobody has any say over anything you ever do. That's it. It's that simple. Tell the truth and be done with it.
I mean, that's standing your ground. Yeah, we're good.
Well,
we're
you're
good.
You're standing your ground. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like I can stand. I feel like I can stand my ground, and it feels amazing. Exactly.
Tell the truth with a smile on your face. With a smile on your face. You're not at war with anybody, Dad. You're not at war with anybody. All right, love you, man. Talk to you soon.
I love that. Thank you, Kurt. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Ciao.